This is Radio Superior 1949, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1949. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is The Voice from the head of the lakes from Superior, Wisconsin, Jack McKenna speaking. It's Saturday night, folks, December 31st, 1949. Lou Martin has the 10 o'clock New Year's Eve special report, the last New Year's of the 1940s. We've got a cast of thousands lined up, at least a dozen. George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty will be in. So will the museum curator, Dr. Creepy himself. Rapid Ray has the sports, Harriet has the community news, and the best baby contest.
That's first baby.
Oh, baby. We don't want to get that wrong. We expect some appearances from other folks as well, invited or not.
Boy, I sure hate uninvited guests.
Me too. Some people have some kind of nerve.
Just plain rude, if you ask me.
And we'll count down the top 10 songs of the 1940s. That's right, the best of the whole darn decade. The 10 p.m. news is brought to you by Leaf's Hamburgers. Just 25 cents each, with all the trimmings. Order a dozen and get two free, with free delivery. Leaf's Hamburgers. Dial 6604. Happy New Year's Eve, Lou.
Happy New Year's Eve to you and good listeners. New York Governor Dewey is critical of President Truman for dragging his feet on approving the St. Lawrence Seaway. Dewey slapped at the Truman administration for not letting a New York State develop the long-proposed St. Lawrence River Hydroelectric Project. He indicated the state would continue to press for federal permission to undertake the project jointly with the province of Ontario, as proposed by Dewey in April of 1948. Republican Senator Robert Taft of Ohio believes the U.S. Navy should intervene, if necessary, to keep Formosa out of the hands of the Chinese communists. He made his statement today as tension continued between the two countries. The tired old 40s bow out in less than 2 hours and turns the world over to a brand new decade. We have this report from Frederick Othman of New York.
The tired old 40s have run their stormy course of life and death. They bow out tonight, and what was written in the history of the 40s? Mostly it's a story of a war, of many dying, of a bomb, and of a new, bloodless, but menacing kind of conflict between two ideologies. But it also is a story of romance, of more money for most of a million men coming home in ships to hunt their dreams, of a new international kind of charity, of brides brought from across the seas, of new hope for the persecuted of Europe, of the birth of an uncertain thing called the United Nations, and of a new development called television. The outlook was not all good, but it was better than it was 10 years ago when the 40s ushered in to the fury of marching armies and sounding of cannons. America is prosperous. Life flows strong in the veins of the New York Stock Exchange, whose fingers span the country and measure its pocketbook. It's closed out the old year on a 3-year record high mark. There is a pulsing new vigor in the religious life of the land. Science captured new ground in the closing days of the old year. Dr. Albert Einstein brought forward a new concept that promised a new understanding of the universe in the years ahead. The nation is working on its social problems. In its slow, stumbling, democratic fashion, it is trying to wipe out its wrongs and injustices. Across the seas, the sick world is recovering from the wounds of conflict. The Economic Cooperation Administration says Western European countries have achieved the highest industrial and farm production in history. and that the forecast for the next year is for even higher production. So, goodbye, tired old 40s. Hello, brand spanking new 50s. In New York, this is Frederick Othman, United Press.
KUWS Radio News Time is 10:05. Jack McKenna has this message from Leaf's Hamburgers.
Hungry for a good hamburger, Lou? Or anybody? Hey, I got news for you. Spend your New Year's Eve at home. Save with Leaf's Jumbo Hamburgers. 25 cents each. Two free with a dozen. All the trimmings. Junior hamburgers, $1.80 a dozen. Large order, French fries, 15 cents, folks, that's all. Delicious homemade chili per order, 20 cents. Pick them all up or free delivery on dozens or more. Leafs, 922 Weeks Avenue in Superior. Oh, I'm hungry when I finish that one, Lou.
City Manager William Deegan was offered the city managership of Quincy, Massachusetts today. His salary would be in excess of $12,000. At the same time, Deegan, who is now in the East, made it known that he has not yet accepted the Quincy offer. He's in Worcester, Massachusetts today and told newsmen there that he's not ready to make a statement on his plans. The city manager's salary in Superior is $9,400, and the Worcester job would bring a raise of at least $2,600. City Attorney George Flynn says that because of a new state law passed in 1947, if the council saw fit to select one of its own members as acting city manager, that council member would have to resign from the council. In October, when F. Robert Beekner resigned as manager, City Council President A.D. Weldon served as acting city administrator for 4 months. Deegan came to Superior in 1947 after serving as economic investigator for the House Small Business Committee in Washington. Superior Police Chief Arthur Buchanan and Douglas County Traffic Patrol Chief John Kane turned chemist today to warn motorists that alcohol and gasoline, when mixed, make a deadly combination. If you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't drink. Two police officers say that they don't want to dampen holiday spirits, but that they do want to stress the dangers of mixing high spirits and tipsiness when driving. A plan to buy the 95-year-old governor's mansion from the state for $60,000 was announced by the University of Wisconsin last night. President of the University Board of Regents, Frank Sensenbrenner, says the building would serve as a graduate student center. Governor Rennebaum and his family moved 2 weeks ago to a new mansion in suburban Maple Bluff. A badly injured Superior State football player was paid a visit by the county district attorney today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Happy New Year, everyone. Superior State College football and Mike Galligan suffered critical spinal injuries during the state Mankato game this fall. Now he's enduring the miseries of a body cast. He was joined in spirit by District Attorney Andy Borg, who once wore a cast for the same type of injury, also suffered while playing football. Nearly 20 years have passed since Borg was carried from a Stout Institute gridiron to begin 13 uncomfortable weeks in a heavy plaster cast. Two vertebrae were cracked and another crushed when he tackled another player. Yesterday afternoon, Mr. Borg, along with Superior State Teachers College coaches Leo DeMarco and Mark Dean, and Superior Baseball Manager Maury Arnovich, journeyed to St. Mary's Hospital in Duluth, where Galgan is recuperating. Borg answered one question that has bothered the Yellow Jacket end for some time. During the 20 years that had passed, the district attorney told him that he has had no trouble with his spine. Lou?
Thanks, Mike. We wish Mike Galgan the best. Finally, Jack and good listeners, winners of the Junior Chamber of Commerce Christmas Home Lighting Contest were chosen Thursday night by judges who inspected each of the 16 entries. Judges Jane Renstrand, Lillian Olson, and Tony Jaworski selected the Harry G. Olson Home at 1514 Iowa Avenue in Billings Park as first place winner in Superior. Mr. Olson was given a $20 first prize. The Olson decoration embodied a manger scene offset by a huge wreath of fir boughs and a loudspeaker system that broadcast Christmas carols to the neighborhood.
I understand Olson's neighbors are pretty darn sick of jingle bells. Thanks, Lou Martin, the newsman who knows his ho-ho-hos. Boy, I can't wait to get to the countdown, the top 12 songs of the whole decade. So let's check the weather for this December 31st, 1949. Colder tonight with fair skies. Tonight's low zero with tomorrow's high around 20 degrees. All right, painstakingly researched just for you. We now have the 12th most popular song of the 1940s.
But you've never painstakingly researched anything.
I sure did.
Stubbing your toe on the way to the music library isn't painstaking research.
But my toe hurts. It was painful. So without further ado, folks, here are the songs that made our decade. Let's kick it off with none other than the Andrew Sisters of Minnesota. Here's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B on the Martin and McKenna Ringin' the New Year show.
He was a famous trumpet man from our Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was called with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowin' reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to understand. Because the next day the cap went out and drafted a band. And now the company jumps when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. A toot, a toot, a toot, a toot. He blows it into the bar. In boogie rhythm, he can't blow a note unless the bass and guitar are playing with him. He makes the company jump when he plays reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. Boy of Company B. And when he plays boogie woogie bugle, he was busy as a bee. And when he plays, he makes the company jump A to the bar. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B. Doo-doo-doo-doo-riada-doo-riada-doo-doo-dee blows it A to the bar. He can blow a note if the bass and guitar isn't with him. The company jumps when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy. Every night and wakes them up the same way in the early bright. They clap their hands and stamp their feet because they know how he plays when someone gives him a beat. He really breaks it up when he plays reveille. He's a boogie woogie bugle boy of Company B.
The Andrew Sisters and the Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B on station KUWS.
My favorite is Benny Goodman's Let's Dance.
No Let's Dance tonight, Lou. That's from the 30s. Remember, folks, numbers like Tommy Dorsey's I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, Artie Shaw's Begin the Begin, and Glenn Miller's In the Mood and Moonlight Serenade, my favorite, are all from the late 1930s.
We haven't played Let's Dance for a long time.
And we probably won't. We got a shipment of new music this week for 1950. It doesn't swing like Goodman and Dorsey, but it's good. We'll start playing that stuff tomorrow. Meanwhile, Happy New Year, folks! And here's number 11 from the soon-to-be long-gone decade of the 1940s. This is Ray Noble and his orchestra, and By the Light of the Silvery Moon, on the Martin and McKenna Countdown Show.
By the light,
oh, by the light
of the silvery moon,
silvery moon,
I want to spoon my honey, I'll croon love's tune.
Honeymoon,
keep a shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery moon, by the light of that silvery moon, I want to spoon to my honey, baby, I'll croon love's tune. Honeymoon, keep on a shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love dreams. We'll be cuddling soon by the silvery moon.
Ray Noble, and by the light of the silvery moon on KUWS. Sincere wishes for a happy New Year's from the crew at Jensen Motors. Rusty Elwood, Floyd Bergstrom, Axel Svein, Vano Jervenin, Donald Hagen, Oren Smith, Doris Moe, and Joyce Nelson. And, of course, Earl Jensen. Happy 1950, gang.
Chief Engineer Joe and Colonel Raffaele are getting coffee in the other room.
Don't they have anything better to do on a New Year's Eve?
Apparently not. They're already arguing.
Sheesh. Let's roll on now with the best songs from the 1940s, folks. Here's Glenn Miller and Sunrise Serenade on the soon-to-be noisy Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Glenn Miller and his classic Sunrise Serenade.
What the heck are you talking about there?
John Wayne? John Wayne? No, what kind of choice is that?
The best choice, that's what.
Yeah, the best choice if you're trying to stop a stagecoach.
Allow me to introduce KUWS Chief Engineer Joe Gardonio. And prominent Republican Joe
Raffaele. One of the best examples you can come up with, a stagecoach. He's a handsome, charming...
He was tall...
I mean, I don't think he's charming, but...
He has little tiny feet.
Kind of warms the heart to hear those two, doesn't it?
Warms the... It's annoying.
But you can see a genuine affection between those two.
Yeah, John Wayne isn't even as good a lover as you, Bob.
In fact, a disturbing amount of affection.
I'm trying to tell him who's the best lover of the first half century. Personally, I think the whole conversation is distasteful. But anyone claimed it's really Valentino Neal.
Rudolph.
He isn't even American. And a good American like John Wayne is a better lover than any wine and cheese guy from Tino Land.
Mr. Xenophobic himself.
I never played no xenophone, and I don't see what that's got to do with who the best you-know-what is.
Well, because Rudolph Valentino...
No, I'm sure we'll have lots of chances to settle this through the next half hour.
He looks like a woman.
Till then, let's hear this great number from the Mills Brothers. On the Martin and McKenna 1949 New Year's Eve show.
Till then, my darling, please wait for me. Till then, no matter when it will be, one day I know I'll be back again. Please wait till then. Our dreams will live though we are apart. Our love I know we'll keep in our hearts. Till then, when all the world will be free, please wait for me. Although there are oceans we must cross, and mountains that we must climb, I know every gain must have a loss. So pray that our loss is nothing but time. Till then, let's dream of what there will be. Till then, we'll call on each memory. Till then, when I will hold you again, please wait till then. Although there are oceans we must cross and mountains that we must climb, I know so pray that our loss is nothing but time. Till then, let's dream of what there will be. Till then, we'll call on each memory. Till then, when I will hold you again, please wait.
The Mills Brothers and their great war year number, Till Then, on station KUWS. I see our guest stepped outside.
They went to look up xenophobic in the dictionary. Let me introduce Superior Parks and Recreation Director, Mr. Theodore Depp. How are you, sir?
Well, you might say I'm doing great, and you might say, well, not so great. See, this was the first full year for our recreation department in Superior.
That's good.
But he's got some bad stuff, too.
Not now.
Well, then that's good.
But later it isn't so good.
That's bad.
But for now, it's good.
Good.
What isn't good is this interview is like a derailed train.
Not good.
So, Mr. Depp, there were lots of recreating this year.
That's my job. Get people involved and to have fun. A family that plays together stays together, I always say. I think that's what got me hired.
Did you invent that saying? Oh, I like it.
He didn't invent it. Now, Mr. Depp, lots of kids and adults were involved this year.
We counted each and every one who came to the Civic Center. A regular beehive of activity.
A hub of action.
A swirl of motion.
Busy as a beaver.
A veritable buzzsaw.
I can't wait until we get to the bad part of this interview.
134,418 men, women, and children visited the Civic Center this year, as counted by national standards. That's pretty good, considering.
Considering is always bad. Here it comes. I told you.
You didn't tell me anything.
Considering that we had to close for polio quarantine for a while, we had to shut down the swimming pool. 200 families couldn't leave their homes because they were quarantined. And no kids could go to the Superior Blues games for a while this summer because of the quarantine, too. But you know what?
What?
We sent some games and backyard activities to quarantined homes so the polio families could still have some fun. Of course, we're not stupid. We mailed the games to them.
Thank you, Mr. Theodore Depp, Director of the Superior Recreation Department.
Don't forget the Little Abner Club for 5th and 6th graders meets Wednesdays after school. And Thursday nights, the Square Dance Club has a real wing-ding at the Civic Center.
Here's a wing-ding of a super song from the top numbers of the 40s. This is Duke Ellington. And take the A-Train on the Martin and McKenna Swing Your Partnership. Duke Ellington and Take the A-Train on station KUWS.
Let me introduce community editor Harriet Farrig. It's always a happy new year when you're around.
You know, there's something disconcerting, if not nauseating, about a newsman flirting.
Well, the turn of a year, or in this case, a new decade, always is a time of renewal, and in Lou's case, maybe for romance.
Wink, wink, Alu.
Don't wink, wink at me.
As is the tradition for so many years, local merchants are chipping in gifts for the first baby born in Superior and Douglas County in 1950. So many nice gifts, and so useful to new parents, too. Leaders Department Store will give a wonderful saint-bound baby blanket.
Practical.
And Tower Electric Company has a General Electric coffee maker.
Very practical.
Lignell Rexall Drug has a pair of snap-on baby pants and Playtex baby oil and powder.
An important baby accessory.
And for the father, Zanuszowski's has a gallon of wine.
Most practical of all.
Except that shouldn't be just for the dad. Anyway, good luck, mommies and daddies out there.
The race is on. Here's Vaughn Monroe's signature song and one of the biggest of the 1940s. This is Racing with a Moon on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Oh, Jack, really?
Racing with a moon, high up in the midnight blue.
Monroe and Racing with the Moon on station KUWS. Now with a look at the first half century's greatest moments in sports. Here's our own man of the sporting world, Rapid Ray Paulson. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jake. I've got my own pick for the world's greatest lover. But first, fans, how about the best sporting event of the first half of the century? Of course, there's the tremendous drama of Babe Ruth's fabulous feat of calling his shot on a Wrigley Field home run in the 1932 World Series. And there's the infamous Tunney Dempsey long count in Chicago in 1927. And who could forget Lou Gehrig's heart-tugging farewell at Yankee Stadium in 1939? 374 sports writers and radio sports broadcasters voted those as among the biggest events of sports since 1900. But they didn't top the Dempsey-Furple fight September 14th, 1923. This sportscaster has to agree. That was one for the books. That savage first round packed the raw drama of life and death struggle between two jungle beasts. When Louis Angel Furple rose from his seventh knockdown of the round to bowl Dempsey across the ring and knock the world heavyweight champ into the press section, he touched off an argument that may simmer for another 50 years. Did Furple, the wild bull of the Pampas, actually win the title that night at the Polo Grounds? The record book says no, but many along ringside say yes. They insist Dempsey never would have climbed back into the ring had he not had help from friendly boxing writers. And the dazed Dempsey never would have beaten referee Jack Gallagher's count if he hadn't been for the boosts of the ringside reporters anxious to get rid of the 192.5-pound burden. 20 years later, Dempsey says he didn't even know he'd been hit. Next thing he knew, he was on his stool between the rounds. The champ wasted no time with the 3-1 underdog when he floored Furple for a 5-count and then stretched him out with a left to the head, followed by a chilling right to the chin. Fight over. And that, sport fans, is the most memorable sporting event of the last 50 years. This is Rapid Ray Paulsing, reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
Personally, I vote for January 15th, 1939, an historic day in the annals of sports. It happened right here in Superior.
Oh, was it skating by Bess Earhart?
Nope.
Curling by the Sons of Norway?
All thrilling, but nothing could match this. Walletsko's bowling alley, lane 6. Smitty Toland was the pin setter and official witness to history that fateful night. Lou Martin bowled under 100. He got an 88, including a whopping 6 gutter balls in the Newsman's League. More of the best songs of the 40s on this New Year's Eve of 1949, friends. Here's Harry James and Pretty Kitty Callan, and it's been a long, long time on the Martin and McKenna Show.
us again. It's been a long
Harry James and his orchestra, of course, with pretty Kitty Callan. And it's been a long, long time on station KUWS. Saratoga Cab and Hertz Drive Yourself System proprietor William Winter wishes one and all a prosperous, fulfilling new year. Just dial 7791-7791 for a Saratoga Cab.
It's time for a look at the best real estate deals of the first half century with George G. Newton of George G. Newton Realty.
Well, at your service. You know, Jack and Lou, the best deals in real estate for the first 50 years of this century, they weren't really the best for the country, you know. I mean, we've been through a few depressions. We had one in 07, another after the First World War. And then, of course, the Great Depression. And now that was the worst of times for just about every business except radio. You know, you can go without heat, but you can't go without Jack Benny. You know, we used to say that back in the 30s.
So what's the best real estate deal of the first half century? I remember one-room flats going for $1 a week. Kind of run down, but you'd be surprised who'd stay in a dump like that.
It had everything I wanted. Even a bare light bulb hanging from the middle of the room.
Yeah, that was a deal, all right. But it was a tough deal. I mean, it was tough for the landlord, tough for the renter, tough times all around in the 30s.
Jack's place still has a bare light bulb hanging from the ceiling.
It does not. I put a nice little glass thingy over it. Be nice, Lou.
That would be a globe thingy. And that's what you get for making fun of my bowling.
No. Back to business. You know, the best deal of the half century. It is a heated one-room kitchenette apartment at 919 Tower Avenue for just $22 a month. And it's there now.
The best deal of the first 50 years is a dive on Tower Avenue?
No. I have a one-room apartment at 705 Tower Avenue. It's got a rec room downstairs. It's just $7 a month.
A rec room?
He means the room is above a pool hall and tavern.
And for the family looking for convenience and a low price, I got a four-room downstairs apartment, just vacated, at 1417 North 5th Street for just $30 a month. Now, that's not bad.
Downstairs apartment?
That's a basement. And one of the rooms holds a boiler.
These aren't the best deals of the half century. You're just getting a free plug for your apartments.
Oh, sure, but I'm doing it with good cheer for a new year for you and yours, fellas. Hey, I got a few ideas for the best lover competition that Joe was talking about.
Hold that thought, Georgie. Tonight, the New Year's Eve show is all about the music. From our best of the 1940s list, here's Bing Crosby from 1944... and Swing on a Star at the Martin and McKenna Show.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at anything he hears.
His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak.
And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule.
Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar and be better off than you are, Rudy.
Or would you rather be a pig?
A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He has no manners when he eats his food. He's fat and lazy and extremely rude.
But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig.
Oh, would you like to swing on a star? Hairy moonbeams home in a jar. And be better off than you are.
Or would you rather be a fish?
A fish won't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. And though he's slippery, he still gets caught.
But then if that sort of life is what you wish, you may grow up to be a fish. New kind of jumped up slippery fish, and all the monkeys are in the zoo.
Every day you meet quite a few,
so you see it's all up to you. You can be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star.
Bing Crosby's big hit, Swinging on a Star, on station KUWS. Who's next, Lou?
The museum curator. He's out in the hall. He's been waiting patiently. I think he's taking a nap.
Better check his pulse. He looks kind of dead.
He looks kind of dead?
Well, you know, deadish.
Yeah, I'll get him for you.
Thanks, Joe.
You know... He does look kind of deadish, lying there on his back with his with his hands across his chest.
Not breathing.
Not breathing?
Well, maybe a little. Not much, though.
Well, in a deadish kind of way. Say, when am I going to be able to list my top lovers of the first half century, anyway?
Not until next year, Bub.
What do you mean next year?
This is an interesting discussion, but we've got the museum curator next.
If he's not dead.
I called an ambulance. If he's not dead, he's pretty close.
Right. Deadish.
There's no such word as deadish.
But you just said it, so it must be a word.
Look, Skinny. Tonight may be the end of 1949, but it isn't the end of half century. You gotta wait till next year.
Don't get persnickety with me, pal.
I'll get persnickety with anybody, whoever I wanna.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, what? Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What on God's green earth are you two children doing?
We're imitating you two. You always get into a tit-for-tat whenever you two get together.
No, you don't have to swear.
We don't sound like that. Say, Colonel, what's the big idea about the half century not over with anyway?
Well, everyone's jumping the gun by no less than a year. McCorkle, well, he's playing the top songs of the half century. Ray Paymar over here, he's got the top sporting events. George G. Nuisance has the best real estate deals of 50 years. Well, they're all wrong. Mr. 20th Century is only 49 years old after tonight.
You know, the Colonel's right. According to my figures, the first 100 years, i.e. the first century, began midnight following December 31st, B.C. That can only mean it ended midnight following December 31st, 100 A.D. So, January 1st, 101 A.D. logically would make up the beginning of the second century. See?
No.
Maybe. Is that the way you see it, Colonel?
That's right. I mean, it's or something like that. I'm
taking an aspirin.
Save me a couple of those.
Is this too tough to bear? What? That's funny. Well, next on our list of the 1940s is English songstress Vera Lynn, one of my favorites, with her touching World War II number on the Martin and McKenna Head Scratcher Show.
There'll be blue
I'll never forget the people I met braving those angry skies. I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. For when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow. Just you wait and see.
White Cliffs of Dover on station KUWS.
It's with great relief that I welcome Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe. Happy New Year, sir.
Yes, good evening. You have such a nice sofa to rest on. Those men in uniforms woke me up. It was rather rude of them to pound on my chest.
So, Mr. Stowe, you think the half-century is over tonight or a year from now?
Yes, very interesting. We have this commotion at the end of every century. As I recall, it happened in 1899, 1799, 1699. Every century's end, it's the same argument. They called the next day New Century Day instead of New Year's Day.
He remembers 1699.
Figuratively speaking, he's an historian. So, Mr. Stowe, your new exhibit.
Yes, it's very exciting. As I mourn the passing of one of my favorite groups, the Old Settlers Association at the head of the lakes, we can still celebrate their life with a display of some of their artifacts.
Which, in a way, means that they can live forever.
Yes. Believe me when I tell you, living forever is overrated.
He's getting creepy again.
We're putting together an exhibit of old records and photographic plates from the recently disbanded Old Settlers Association. Yes, these copper plates contain reproductions of every president of the Old Settlers group. It dates back to the famous surveyor of our lands, George Stuntz, back in 1886. These were a hardy lot, resolute to build our communities of Superior and Duluth. They were men undaunted of the isolation of winter or starvation when they settled here after the Civil War. Yes, those were stimulating times.
Stuntz, a friend of yours?
Yes. I mean, of course not. How could that be? Many of these faces are indeed recognizable to old-timers. These faces were often bearded in a time when all men wore beards. One of my favorites is Mr. Hiram Hayes, one of Superior's first orators and attorneys. Then there's Irving Gates, the beloved old schoolmaster. There's Henry Butler and the Barden brothers, John and James. Solon Clough and Henry Ely all played a significant part in this region's history, and all were past presidents of the Old Settlers Association.
Since this is the Head of the Lakes Settlers Association, there must be pictures of men from Duluth, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. The most prominent of Duluth's leaders were the three Merritt brothers, who were instrumental in developing Duluth. Also, Luther Mendenhall and Horace Saxton. They loved to play cards, and they would win the shirt off your back if you weren't careful.
Douglas County Museum Curator Gerald Stowe.
Stick around, Jerry. We're all going to argue about who's the half-century's greatest lovers right after this.
Oh, yes, that's easy. I'll stay.
Okay, folks, from one of the best duets ever, this is Dick Hames and Helen Forrest on the Martin and McKenna Show.
It had to be you. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found the somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Some others I've seen might never be mean, might never be cross, or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do. For nobody else gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still, it had to be you, wonderful you, it had to be you.
It had to be you, it had to be you. I wandered around and finally found somebody who could make me be true, could make me be blue, and even be glad just to be sad thinking of you. Might never be me, might never be cross, or try to be boss, but they wouldn't do.
For nobody else gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still.
To be you, wonderful you,
it had to be.
Dick Hames and Helen Forrest, and it had to be you. That's Lou and Harriet's song, you know. You can imagine Lou singing it to her over a campfire. Or a bowling alley.
I do not.
All right, bring everyone in.
Oh, yeah, how about that?
Clark Gable. I'm not so bad myself.
Lewis can do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. Stay
away from here.
Oh, boy.
So do you want to hear my list for the greatest lovers of the first 49 years of the century?
Not particularly.
I do. Of course, we'd have to cross Lou's name off the list, since we're all rather partial to the redhead.
Naturally, no one in this room can be a candidate. Frankly, it would be unfair to have yours truly, a radio engineer, in the competition against mere mortals. We are known as ladies' men, you know.
You're more known like ladies. And second of all, you're no, whatchamacallit,
I've seen you around women. You're tripping on everything, including your own tongue. It's embarrassing you. Humiliate yourself in public.
Well, how about you, Bob? What do you call it when Bobby Soxers are right here in this room? You could only blubber things about their ankles, Romeo.
Romeo? Romeo? He's not even a real man. He's probably some kind of Roman engineer.
Are you bad-mouthing engineers?
I wouldn't think of it, Your Highness.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Gentlemen, please. Every man is a great romantic in the eyes of at least one woman.
His mother doesn't count.
Don't you dare bring my mother into this.
My first choice, besides a certain newsman in this room, is Rudolph Valentino.
He's a foreigner.
I'm told I'm related to him. Well, from the old country. Gardonio Valentino. You can see the resemblance in my profile if the light is just right. Here, take a look.
You mean if the lights are off and you're in a cave?
Ray, who do you like as best lover of the first 49 years?
Oh, I'd say DiMaggio. It has to be the suave and graceful Jolting Joe DiMaggio.
For me, you know, it's got to be none other than John Barrymore. I mean, women loved him, men loved him. His profile was so perfect. I mean, that's what they called Barrymore, the profile.
And how about you, Mr. Stowe?
Yes, I have two choices. They were great romantics in their own special way, causing women to swoon with their very fleeting look. Yes, rather hypnotic.
Sounds like you're describing Lowe.
Or John Wayne.
Or Dracula.
Yes, perhaps. So my pick is the great Bela Lugosi. His portrayal of Dracula put a woman in the mood for love. And if you go even farther back to the days of the silent movies, there was Francis X. Bushman, matinee idol of 1915.
Lou, I suppose your pick is Edward R. Murrow?
Newsmen are known for character and strength, which can be romantic, of course. But we can't forget another silent movie leading man whose career fizzled when the talking pictures came in, John Gilbert. But my vote has to go to Valentino, too. He's the wolf that most men wouldn't want to compete with for their girl.
The wolf that most men wouldn't want to compete with, you know. Very good, Lou. Very good.
Okay, Joe, it's your turn. What did this great survey from Engineers Monthly come up with?
Well, which leads me to question about why men are voting about the most romantic man of the century.
He's got a point. Most men vote for the most beautiful woman.
Or the best pair of legs.
Or the best pair of eyes.
Or best pair of...
Jack!
As a matter of fact, Engineers Monthly has an annual bathing suit edition every spring. It's very popular among us masculine types. But as far as the best lover of the century so far, number 10 was romantic crooner Bing Crosby. 9 was Charles Boyer. 8 was British star Ronald Coleman. Gary Cooper, 7th. Tommy Manville, 6th. Clark Gable, 5th. Then John Gilbert and John Barrymore. 2nd was Francis X. Bushman.
Yes, my chap.
And 1st was...
Better be the Duke.
His dark, uncertain charm brought something alive out of the deep forest of sex that women couldn't understand.
Hey. Clean it up, Gargionio.
My distant cousin, Rudolph Valentino.
And Lou didn't even make the top 10. We're about ready to welcome in the new year, folks. We have one more big hit from the 1940s. A favorite for returning servicemen in 1945. Les Brown and his band of renown with Doris Day on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, got my reservation. Spent each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. Takes me back. Never thought my heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take that sentimental journey. Sentimental journey home. Sentimental.
Les Brown and Doris Day and Sentimental Journey, Will You Ever Forget It? On KUWS. Well, gang, where to tonight? The Club Ritz?
Yeah.
The Gitchinagy Club?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Bertha's Tavern? Maybe some Chinese afterwards?
Yeah, we'll go to the Gitchinagy.
Now you're talking.
Boys, after all we've been through this decade, we need to go on a watch night church service. The People's Gospel Mission is having one at midnight. It's ecumenical.
Hey, they warned us down at the Legion about those ecumenitites. They're socialists, you know, and they have more than one wife.
Really?
Ecumenical means non-denominational. Everybody's welcome.
I think the colonel might find a problem with that, too.
Non-demon national place, huh? Sounds like the perfect place for God and, well, God and the colonel.
Then we'll get to the Ritz.
And some Chinese at Joy Ling Lo.
Yeah.
Another happy ending, folks. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is, and there aren't any demons at People's Gospel Mission. For all the gang, then,
happy 1950.
Happy 1950.
Shish. Well, at least he rode a horse, not a camel.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1949, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Al Katz, John Munson, Ray Paulson, Brian Matuzak. All events reported on Radio Superior 1949 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.